Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with an audacious GOP plan underway to win the 2012 presidential election by changing the election rules in key states like Pennsylvania. Instead of Pennsylvania's current winner-take-all Electoral College victory, each congressional district will get its own electoral vote, meaning that if Obama wins the state but, as expected, loses in the heavily gerrymandered GOP districts, he would end up with only 8 Electoral College votes to the Republicans' 12. Akhil Reed Amar, professor of law and political science at Yale University, joins us to explain this brazen power grab. Then we'll get an assessment of the upset GOP victory in the heavily Democratic New York district, where they won the once-safe seat held by the crotch-flashing Congressman Anthony Weiner. Democratic strategist Carl Agnew joins us to discuss whether this is a harbinger for the 2012 elections, where, in spite of the Republicans' apparent determination to make sure the economy gets worse so their election chances get better, their cynicism might be rewarded at the polls by a frustrated and angry electorate. Then finally, we'll look into the Eurozone crisis with economist Stephanie Griffith-Jones to get a sense of whether the 17 member states can find the political will to get ahead of the curve and issue Eurobonds to calm the markets as French banks get downgraded because of Greek debt, with Greece teetering on default, while Portugal, Ireland, Spain, and Italy continue to get pounded by the bond markets. Joining us now is Akhil Reed Amar, who is Sterling Professor of Law and Political Science at Yale University, where he teaches constitutional law at both Yale College and Yale Law School. After clerking for Judge Stephen Breyer in the U.S. Court of Appeals in the First District, Professor Amar joined the Yale faculty in 1985. He is also the author of several books, including The Constitution and Criminal Procedure, First Principles, The Bill of Rights, Creation and Reconstruction, and most recently, America's Constitution, a biography. Welcome to Background Briefing, Akhil Reed Amar.
Thanks for having me.
And this story that's come out in Mother Jones about this GOP plan to beat Obama in 2012 is almost as shocking as it is a kind of stealth revelation. I'm surprised that this is not creating more of a stir. What's your reaction?
Well, I hadn't heard about it until yesterday, and when it was explained to me, it immediately aroused my antenna, and I do recommend to all your readers the Mother Jones article on this, which was quite eye-opening. And so precisely because this is so stealthy and bold and unprecedented, it's important that voters in Pennsylvania and across America focus on this issue.
It's also apparently legal. It's brazen and audacious. But my brief description in the opening is that what's happening is that they're going to change because of the heavy gerrymandering in the state, where now they control, the Republicans control both the Senate and the legislature, along with the governorship, and they've already gerrymandered the state pretty heavily now. Instead of the winner-take-all, which is this current system, which I believe most of the states have, 48 of the current states have the winner-take-all in the Electoral College, the change would mean that even if Obama wins the state, but as expected loses in the heavily gerrymandered GOP districts, he would end up with only 8 Electoral College votes to the Republicans' 12.
Yes, that's what's the evil genius, perhaps, of the plan. And you're right, legally, Pennsylvania could, I suppose, simply say the state legislature will pick the electors. That did happen in some states before the Civil War, but it hasn't been our tradition since then. Since then, that's basically 150 years, almost every state, almost every time, lets its voters decide statewide, one person, one vote, every vote counting equally, no gerrymandering, nothing like that. It is true today that there are two states, Nebraska and Maine, that don't do it winner take all, but they don't have the same kind of gerrymander issue that Pennsylvania seems to be having in mind.
Well, they're too small, I take it, for that to matter.
Well, they're not only pretty small, the way it works, let's take Maine. Maine basically has two congressional districts, two House districts, and two Senate seats. So that's a total of four electoral votes. The number of electoral votes that the state gets is the number of its senators, two, plus the number of its House of Representatives members, in Maine's case, another two. Now, the way it works in Maine is if you win a congressional district, you get that vote, and if you win the state as a whole, you get a two-vote bonus. That's the senators. Now, if you win the state as a whole, you have to have won in one of those two districts. Just mathematically, that has to be the case. So if you win the state as a whole, you're guaranteed at least three of the four electoral votes, maybe four. So that's not such a big difference from the current system, and gerrymandering really is kind of irrelevant here. The person who wins a majority of the vote in Maine gets at least a majority and maybe all of Maine's votes. Similar thing in Nebraska. Nebraska has five electoral votes, three congressional districts, and a couple of Senate seats. If you win the state as a whole, you have to have won in at least one of those three districts. You win that district plus the two statewide. So there's no way in Maine or Nebraska that you can win statewide and still end up kind of losing the state's electoral vote count. But in Pennsylvania, that could very conceivably happen.
And it does seem that the Republicans who have total political control, not just in Pennsylvania, but also in Michigan, Ohio, and Wisconsin, what's to stop them doing the same thing there?
And I think the answer in a word is voters. In each of those states, the voters need to decide whether they're going to stand, whether they're going to put up with this. It's true that the Republican Party, through elections, has won in the House, the Senate, and the governorships, and that's perfectly fair. But not all the folks who voted for them, in effect, wanted to be disenfranchised in the presidential election or have very un-American rules of the sort that we haven't had for 150 years in place anywhere be imposed on them. This isn't what Maine does. This isn't what Nebraska does. When you actually really understand the Maine and Nebraska systems, there's no really partisan gerrymandering at the heart of those plans. Lots of folks who voted for the Republicans in Michigan or Ohio or Wisconsin or Pennsylvania might be independents who might feel that really it's up to them to decide in 2012 whether they're going to vote for President Obama for re-election or his Republican alternative. And they're the ones who are basically being dissed, who are being disrespected by this very kind of clever plan. So what's to stop them is ultimately public opinion. The voters themselves who say, wait a minute, you're supposed to work for me. I'm paying for your salary, and you're kind of trying to take the vote away from me in some powerful sense, or at the very least, trying to structure the rules so that we don't really have one person, one vote statewide the way we have had for 150 years in Pennsylvania and Ohio and these other places, at least 150 years. It actually, in almost all states, goes back even further than the Civil War.
Again, I'm speaking with Akhil Reed Amar, who's a Sterling Professor of Law and Political Science at Yale University. Now, we know that the GOP in Pennsylvania is moving ahead with this plan, and Pennsylvania alone could swing the election to the Republican nominee. Do we know whether or not these other key states that we just mentioned, which are totally controlled by Republicans, all of which are very important states, Michigan, Ohio, and Wisconsin for any presidential election, do we know whether the plan's underway there?
I don't know. I'm not an expert on the politics or the politicians in those states. Until yesterday, frankly, I had no idea that this was brewing, but when I was contacted by Mother Jones magazine and sort of listened after, and my first inclination was to say, oh, don't worry, but the more I listened, the more anxious I got, and this seems to me very important, so you're doing an important public service. At the end of the day, our democracy is what we, the people, make of it. And if ordinary people, voters in all these places, are comfortable with this system, well, then so be it. But if they're not, let's make sure that they know about this before it's done so that they can make their voices heard.
And in terms of the Electoral College itself, it is something of an antique, isn't it? I mean, we had the paradox of Al Gore winning by the popular vote by 560,000 votes and losing in the state by only 527 votes, and thus losing the presidency in the Electoral College. And then conversely, in 2004, Bush was, I think, about 3 million ahead in the popular vote, but he almost lost Ohio, which would have then gone to Kerry.
I like the points that you're making. They're excellent points. I've long been a critic of the Electoral College, and we could talk, if you want, about how its origins are actually very different from what most people were taught in third grade. They're taught it's a big state, small state balance, but in fact, the big state person almost always has won from the very beginning. They're taught it's because the founders didn't really believe in democracy. I don't really think that's the explanation. We could go into why. Originally, it was actually a compromise with slavery, and the Electoral College allowed slave states to sort of have more clout. They could, in effect, count their slaves with a 3/5 discount at a discounted rate. But Virginia, for example, had more electoral votes in 1800 than Pennsylvania, even though Pennsylvania had a lot more free citizens and voters because Virginia got to count its slaves. So that's what it was originally all about. I've never loved it, but here's the thing about it. Even though it's not great, it's not skewed. In 2000, it ended up helping the Republican. In 2004, it might have ended up helping the Democrat. Right now, the way the this is not built into the nature of the universe, but it just turns out at the present moment that the Electoral College will sometimes diverge from the national popular vote, but pretty much without a systematic skew. Sometimes the Electoral College will favor the Republicans, sometimes it will favor the Democrats. Whereas this Pennsylvania plan has a partisan skew to it, and that's what makes it also very different than the Electoral College as a whole.
So just in the last couple of minutes then, Akhil Reed Amar, there have been a number of suggestions and plans to reform the Electoral College. I think, why not make it all winner-take-all? I mean, if you can't get rid of it altogether.
Well, there is a plan afoot. In fact, California has recently joined this plan with Governor Brown having signed a California version of what's called the National Popular Vote Initiative. And what this plan would do is, instead of giving all of California's electoral votes to the person who wins, the candidate who wins California, it would give California's electoral votes to the person who wins the national popular vote, as long as enough other states also agree to do the same thing. They haven't yet. About half of the right now, a bunch of states have signed up to this plan, but it won't go into effect until enough do, so as to guarantee that the person who wins the national popular vote would actually have an Electoral College majority. Now, that's changing the system, too. It's a new thing, and some people might not like it. But one difference is that plan, at least as I understand it, is not a partisan plan. Precisely, you're going to move from the Electoral College system that we've had in place for many years to, in effect, a national election system. But that isn't, as I said, partisan because neither system really is designed to favor today the Republicans or the Democrats as such. But what Pennsylvania is doing is trying to come up with a modification of its rules for picking electors that seems very partisan. And that's a new thing and a bad thing.
And hopefully people will only if people get sufficiently outraged will anything be done about it, right? Otherwise, it could be a fait accompli.
Well, that's why it's so important to get the word out. As I said, 36 hours ago, I didn't know anything about this. But when it was brought to my attention, it caught my eye, and I hope it catches the ear of your audience.
Well, I thank you for joining us here today, Akhil Reed Amar.
Thanks so much.
Again, I've been speaking with Akhil Reed Amar, who's Sterling Professor of Law and Political Science at Yale University, where he teaches constitutional law at both Yale College and Yale Law School. After clerking for Judge Stephen Breyer of the United States Court of Appeals, First Circuit, Professor Amar joined the Yale faculty in 1985. He's also the author of several books, including The Constitution and Criminal Procedure, First Principles, The Bill of Rights, the Bill of Rights, Creation and Reconstruction, and most recently, America's Constitution, a biography. We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back talking about what Democratic strategy there is for the 2012 elections.
Will make you weep. You'll cry and cry and try to sleep. But sleep won't come the whole night through. Your cheating heart will tell on you.